Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Timmery. I am excited for today's guest. She has previously been on before, and it was a really fun episode, one that continues to actually get a fair amount of attention. Like, people go back into the archives and they're like, let me listen to this girl. So I'm very excited to welcome back Asha. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. Like, and a lot in your life has changed. It's been a couple of years, right?
Yeah, it'll be 3 years in June since I moved to Philly.
Holy cats. Okay.
It feels like a week.
Yeah. A Philadelphia week is 3 years. Yeah.
All right.
That's fair. Yeah, so when you last were on, you were talking about your work in camming, which you are still doing, but is now taking a different sort of shape. You want to talk about, like, how that transition's been for you, how the process has been?
Yeah, it's been a long, long, drawn-out process. It's still actually not finished. I am switching my name and becoming Rabbit, which is... It started out being a completely different character. It started out being a very dominant and bratty character because I felt like I was getting a lot of work from that. And then my regulars who had been coming into my chat room for years before that were a little bit put off by it. So it started out as a separate personality, I guess, some sort of alter ego. And then I went through yoga teacher training and realized that my name is now Asha because that's what everybody calls me. And I was like, I should probably create some separation, at least a little bit of separation from the sex work part of my life, from the yoga teaching part of my life. So I just decided probably about a month ago to take on Rabbit as my full-time cam personality. And I feel like that's going to allow me to play with the character a little bit more and maybe do something different.
So what is different between Asha and Rabbit?
I think that's still sort of evolving. And I think I really had this great idea. I think it was a sick day, and I was watching The Price is Right, and I was like, wouldn't it be great? Because there's so many cam girls that do games. And I actually now have a Plinko board that somebody made me and a wheel that's coming to me. And I was like, I'm going to make my chat room like some sort of strange adult-oriented version of like Pee-wee's Playhouse and The Price is Right. And I'm just going to try to make it as bizarre and kind of campy and fun as possible. And I think that's the direction I'm going in for Rabbit, because I think it'll just be a lot less pressure on me. Because it can be really tough being a personality for a living. And you get into all these weird identity, almost little mini crisis. And, you know, am I just being myself on cam? Am I now a character? It's why people have stage names in the first place. And I think just when it happened that my stage name just became my real name, it's time to change it.
That's a really interesting dilemma. And I think something people can, outside of performance, people outside of sex work, like, I think can identify with the issue of work persona, personal persona. And like, as our work becomes something that it's harder and harder to get away from because like you have a device on you all the time. So you have no reason to not respond immediately to whatever fucking bullshit that they think too. You need to respond to on yes. Sunday night. Like, I think people definitely can understand that, like, that work life balance. And then like, as a performer, as a personality, I mean, you're tapping into yourself in a way that other types of labor aren't necessarily expected to. So drawing those lines, has that felt like a healthy decision, like, for sustainability?
Absolutely. It also becomes a point where camming gets to be, it's just redundant. You know, you have to log on every day. Especially, I was going through school, so I didn't have the amount of time in my day anymore to just decide when I was going to log on. And I was logging on later and later, and eventually it was where I was, you know, staying up until 3. I'd been up in class all day, coming home and trying to study, and then being on cam, and it was just exhausting. So most of the nights, it would end up just me laying there on my bed, like, exhausted, talking to people. And it was a really stale atmosphere that started to happen. And then it made me not want to do it because it was slow and it just, it sort of dragged itself down. So with Rabbit, I guess I'm just trying to make it so much of a character, so much bigger than myself, then it'll give me an incentive to get up and move around and do something.
So for people who aren't necessarily familiar with what all is available, like if we're talking about camming in general, is that, you said that a lot of people use games, but like, is that, like, everybody? Like, how, what are the many different ways that you've seen people finding a way to use camming?
Oh, God, there's a million different ways. A lot of the girls, because I'll watch, you know, I'll go and see what people are doing and see what people are drawing. And a lot of the time, girls that are on all the time, maybe they're in school or they just have some sort of availability to be on all the time, starts to get the biggest following because they are like friends, you know, like they get to know these people. And for a long time before I moved, that's what I was doing. That's how I got basically to Philadelphia, is that I was just on every night, every day, and meeting people and getting close to people. And then when I moved here and started becoming really busy with my performance work and traveling a lot, those people saw me less, and then it became distant, and then it got weird. You know, it was just, it was too real to go into camming, and it was like this whole world that you were neglecting because you were doing other things, and you had to remember that there was a job. So I've seen the girls that definitely just go on there and hang out, and that's it, because they're on so much, but they're also active and talking to people and just really good at keeping up with things. I'm the worst at social media. I'm so bad at it. I try, but then again, like you said, you have this device that goes off every 5 seconds and you're trying to do other things and you're just like, what? It's just overwhelming for me. So for the girls that are really good at social media and keeping up with everybody, it works to just go on and be a personality. When you don't have that amount of time, it's good to have things that'll bring in crowds. You know, if you can post and be like, I'm going to be playing Plinko in my cam room today, how many people are going to come on and be like, well, let's see what it's about. You know, it's just, it's about shorter amounts of time and being dynamic in those short amount of time and making it sort of like a show as opposed to just being a person that hangs out on cam. And then there's others that just, it's strictly sexual. They're, you know, stripping and they're playing and they're doing all these things all the time and just accepting whatever tips. And every one of those ways can be successful. And then there are also other crazy ways. You know, there was the ventriloquist girl, and there was, like, people that just have these really elaborate sets, which I think I'm going to be moving to a new apartment and getting my own cam room, like having an office, which will help, because right now it's just my house. So that's another sort of, like, I wake up, I'm at work. Mm-hmm. I come home from wherever I am, I'm still at my office. So having a separate space is also going to help, too, and it'll be just a blank canvas that I can change up whenever I want and maybe try to make themed sets and then shoot photos on it, rent it out to other people to shoot photos on, and then change it weekly or monthly or something.
So I'm curious how you make Plinko sexy.
The prizes. You know, you win a video or you win a custom video or you win a strip tease or if I'm doing a countdown show where it's this many tokens until either I'm naked or we're doing a show, like the middle on my one on my Plinko right now is 200 tokens off that total. So I would just keep taking the total down if they hit that one. So yeah, it's, you could really make any game into a cam game. I have Jenga that has, you know, prizes written on the squares, and if they fall, whatever square I pulled, you
that. So how do you get interactive Jenga on cam?
It's like, that's insane.
The logistics. Like, are they picking the tile that you're pulling? Okay.
And the way I've done it, I haven't played in a while, but the way I did it was, it was really fun to watch them sort of figure out how to be strategic about it. They would tip me a lower amount of tokens, and if I pulled whatever square and it fell, then I would do what was on the square. And then they would tip a higher amount for me to just pull a square and immediately do what was written on it. So at first they would all tip the higher amount so that I would pull a square and they'd win a prize. And then when it started getting shaky, they were starting to tip the lower amounts because they thought it was going to fall. And I was like, you guys are just blowing my mind with your strategy over here. I had no idea it was going to be this complicated. And like, but yeah, it was really fun.
Who are the people who spend a lot of time like in these rooms? What are they like?
Oh, it varies. A lot of them are like the people that spend a lot of time on Reddit or, you know, gaming or any other thing that they're where you're on the computer a lot. Some of them are, you know, graphic designers or somebody that works on their computer from home all day, or in their office all day and they can just pull up another screen. Mostly that's what it is. It's a lot of people that, who doesn't spend that crazy amount of time on their computer nowadays. Now that I'm thinking about it, I can just remember I'm starting up getting a Tumblr again. But when I first found Tumblr, I called it the Tumblr K-hole.
Yeah.
Because you sit down and you just start clicking and then you're like, it's dark outside and I have no idea where my day went. And I find a lot of the time the people that are in my chat room are doing that. They're on other sites and they just have me over here.
Oh, interesting.
As like instead of watching Netflix or something, they have me up on cam and they're like interacting with me while they're doing whatever.
That's fascinating. I guess I just sort of always, because it's just not my particular like area of experience. Like I had always assumed that people went on there in the same way that they were going on to like look at porn.
Yeah, I used to think that way too. And okay. Then a lot of the times I'd be like, you know, nobody would be talking. I'd be like, what's going on? Why is nobody typing in here? And everybody would be like, oh, I'm on Reddit looking at this thing. Or like, oh, I got caught up looking at YouTube. I was like, oh, people are just looking at the internet and I'm a part of that.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
So when I talk about Rabbit, I think there's this whole character backstory that's going into it where she's just born from the internet. And that's where she lives. Rabbit lives in the internet. I guess because I'm still doing burlesque as Asha, but Asha Rabbit.
So let's talk about the burlesque facet, because you are doing a whole lot there.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Right? I had no idea that I would be performing at all, really, when I moved to Philly. It was something that I thought I would be doing. And then I moved here, and Gazella Rose booked me at the Scarlet Artesque. Just the week after I moved here, she was like, do you want to perform? I was like, I've never performed anywhere before. And she's like, so what? Do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah. And from then, I've just been doing everything, it seems like. Still doing the hula hoop thing and sort of starting to branch out now that teacher training's done. I've been in teacher training for like what feels like eternity. I'm going to start branching out and maybe adding some different factors, like sideshow factors, like glass walking and hula hooping, because that's something I know I can do already. And I'm learning knife throwing and aerials. I have an aerial rig that one of my amazing fans bought me for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've got that, and I've got stilts, which I'm terrible at. I found out that I'm really knock-kneed, apparently, because I stood on the stilts and tried to walk, and it was like, Forrest Gump, you know.
Where does one practice walking on stilts?
Carefully in your house with a friend holding your hand.
And like, how tall is your ceiling?
I actually really have super tall ceilings, so it works out for me. But yeah, I guess if you don't have tall ceilings, then outside.
That's insane.
In a very grassy area.
I guess. Like, that seems like, learning how to fly.
It's like, really scary. What? It's really scary. That's not my thing. But maybe I'll try to work on it. It's just an alignment issue. But I was joking that it was my Forrest Gump magic legs because I was just terrible at it. I was so bad at it. Juggling. I learned juggling. And
yeah.
So I've got a little
arsenal.
Start. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you're going on the road.
I'm going on the road with a bunch of beautiful clowns. The Clown Pound Meltdown.
What will that consist of?
What won't it consist of? Well, it's me and Smurfosaur, who is an aerialist and juggler. And she does an amazing act where she walks on point shoes across milk bottles. It's an act that people haven't done since the 20s, and she saw a picture of it and just decided to recreate it, and it's amazing.
Wow.
And Scarlet Storm, who's doing Machete Ladder and glass walking and burlesque. Mikey Mangarilla, who's a juggler, and Evan Young, who's a juggler. And so it's I feel like they have definitely more technical juggling abilities. I know Evan has roller bolas and fire, and I'm pretty sure Mikey does too. And then me doing hoop and burlesque and whatever else develops on the road. And I know that Scarlett Storm has this amazing, amazing game called the cock ring toss, where she wears a strap on and kind of just flops it around, and you tip to pay, or you pay to ring toss rings and try to win prizes. And it's majestic. I've experienced it a few times. It is so magical every time.
The majestic cock ring toss.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful.
Everyone salute. And it brings a little tear to the eye.
Yeah, it's great.
So, you didn't even intend, like, what, like, I'm kind of mad about that. Like, how many people just like, I didn't really mean to go into acting, here's my Oscar.
Well, I have a theater degree, I will say that. So I knew I was probably going to be in some sort of performance. I honestly thought I'd be modeling more than performing, and then it was the complete opposite, which I'm really thankful for, because I really love performing. And I love the people I perform with. So I'm happy that it's such a family atmosphere every time you perform with your friends and even strangers. They come in and everybody's just so welcoming, and it's really cool. It's a really unique thing you get as a performer.
One of the things I like talking to performers about, just because I find it interesting, that the personal life effects of being a performer. We talked already a little bit about the compartmentalization of the personas, but like, you work weird hours and you're available for public consumption in ways that for other people would be really challenging for their significant other and stuff like that. Like, how's that working for you?
I've been doing that for a very long time. I started doing the alt modeling thing at 19. I just turned 30. Gosh, so 11 years. You just get used to it, and you sort of develop this, you know, like, what's real and what's not real, and what strangers say to you on the internet is, that's not really that real. That's coming from somewhere completely different than I like to think about my own universe. You know, it's like, I know my friends, what they think of me, what I think of myself, and what this jerk off over here is like, just trying to make somebody feel bad. Like, obviously they're not feeling great about themselves, so just letting that go. It's hard to get used to that, but I think it's a very valuable skill to have once you do get used to it, just for every aspect of your life. There's everybody says that I'm the shrug life emoji, the little shruggy guy. I really identify with that. Just like, fuck it.
That's your yoga teacher in you.
I guess so. I guess that's why I sort of gravitated that way. But yeah, the working weird hours thing was weird for yoga teacher training. We would have these early morning, like weekend, 8 to 4. And for me, that's ridiculous because sometimes I'm not going to bed until 6. There was one day early in training where I had a show in Manhattan, and the only bus that I could get home was a 5 a.m. bus. So I did my gig at midnight because it's the only bus I could catch. I did my gig at midnight and just sort of hung out at this Moroccan restaurant where I just performed. And it was really surreal because it was this tiny little, like really close community in that restaurant. Everybody, you could tell everybody knew each other very well. There'd been a lot of regulars. And I was like dancing with the owner, and we were just like dancing all night and drinking and getting to know each other. And then I had to catch a bus at 5 a.m., immediately get off the bus at 7:30 and go to an 8-hour teacher training day. And it was just opposite worlds, completely opposite worlds. And most of the time in the mornings during teacher training, it was, you could just see me sort of like dozing. And I was like, no, I'm still here. I promise. I'm listening. I'm just, my body just cannot sit up right now.
Yeah, I'm like kind of blown away by how much the world caters to the 9-to-5 thing. And it's like, people are entirely not only aware that shift work exists and like other jobs exist, but like it's increasingly becoming the norm to have freelancing and to have like a bunch of part-time jobs and stuff like that.
Bartending. Yeah. And, you know, just like there's so many things and so many things that are open 24 hours a day now.
But like so much still caters to the 9-to-5, even if that's less and less actually what's happening. And I don't get it at all. I don't get it at all. And like you're talking about the majority of your clients are like either at work or like they can be working from home or whatever. Like what are we even doing?
Right. It's bananas. It's bizarre.
So you're now doing like full-time performing? Is that like...
I mean, camming and performing.
Yeah.
And well, I'm now on another site as well called Arouser, and it's a texting site.
Interesting. What's that about?
From my end, and I honestly, I'm really not technologically inclined. I just found out that people can text on their computers, like IM style. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that that was a thing that existed. So that's what it is for Arouser for me. I don't know if the people that I'm talking to are on their computers. Some of them probably are. Some of them are probably on their phones. But it is a sort of, I guess you buy a bulk amount of credits and then you use those credits to text back and forth. And I have pictures that I can upload and send them. And yeah, I'm just texting. Well, sometimes it's super straight to the point sex messaging. Sometimes it's people wanting to make confessions to me.
Yeah? What kind of stuff are they talking about?
I have a lot of bi-curious or sort of like shame-based bi-curious. I don't know if there's some sort of forum in the universe out there where these people are talking and being like, go talk to Asha because she's really great at this, because that's 90% of the people I get on Arouser. That's the situation.
This is so interesting because we literally talked to Cameron Moore, who does Phone Whore, and she was talking about how much of her business is guys who want to talk about, like, other dudes' dicks.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm not gay. Just really want this other dude's dick in my mouth.
Right. That's what I get a ton of.
Yeah.
And I have horrible phone anxiety. But for the sake of making that interesting, because I'm insane, I'm going to turn that into some sort of project and film myself doing phone sex work at some point. And I'm also going to make these – I ordered an answering machine, and I'm going to make these really weird, surreal, erotica videos where – I don't know. I have a lot of ideas for it, but a lot of the ideas are like if I am filming myself talking, the audio would be from the answering machine. So it'd be like you see one thing and you hear one thing. And just sort of exploring why the phone freaks me out so much. But the phone really freaks me out. And I don't know why.
I don't think you're alone.
No, I'm definitely not alone. No. I know a lot of people that have phone anxiety. And maybe it's because we are in a text-based world.
It's completely illogical, but I'm 100% with it. Like, if somebody else is willing to call and order the food, I will pay for the food.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody on the phone. And I can talk to people on cam all day, but nothing's up to my ear. I'm not like, it's not just a voice. Maybe
it's like a voice in your head.
It's a voice in your head.
It's legitimately a voice in your head.
It's really creepy. So I want to do something with that.
And I guess we grew up watching Scream. I don't know.
Yeah, or something. Maybe it's because I did tech support and 9 times out of 10, somebody would be yelling at me as soon as I answered it. I don't know. That'll do it. Traumatizing.
There you go. I think we've discovered your route. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. I would never go near a phone again.
I hated it.
No, I think it's still,
but it's weird. Phones are weird.
They are weird. And I feel like when I'm actually on them, like I'm doing fine. I don't think anybody would listen and be like, oh, she's fucking losing her mind over there.
I feel like my face is awful.
Just making weird faces.
I feel like I'm just cringing the whole time. And that's really why I want to film myself doing phone sex work, just to see my body language versus my voice language. I think it might be an interesting juxtaposition because it's. I'm sure I'm just like...
So when you're camming, like, are you... You're not always typing, right?
Not at all. I'm typing. Yeah. And I'm with my hands, and I'm free out here.
So the difference with the phone is, like, you actually have less, like, physical room to express.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think if somebody says something to me weird on cam, they could probably see it in my face, unless I duck off cam and make it, like... But I guess on the phone, maybe that's what it is. You can't see what the other person is doing either. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what's going on over there, no matter what they're saying.
They're in the bathroom.
Yeah, who knows what's happening?
It's like, oh, I was in the toilet with you. I wasn't prepared for that. We're not that kind of friends.
Yeah. I think there is just a weird intimacy about the phone. There's a really interesting movie I watched on Netflix called Telephone Book. And it's very based on like phone sex and making dirty calls to people, and it's really a bizarre movie, but I watched it and I was like, this is the project I've been thinking about doing for a while, but a little different.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I still have more questions about Arouser, actually.
Oh, like, yeah, go for it.
So this is just, so basically people are interested in sexting, but they want to not have to deal with the drama of finding like a person in real life to deal with.
Which is awesome. I am pro texting sites. I think they're great.
So what, I mean, you said that like some folks are just like cutting straight to the chase and then other people like are doing the confessional thing. Like they know what you look like.
Yeah. There's, you upload pictures and stuff. So you have a profile,
and which I guess you could buy,
but, you can ask to send for them to send pictures, but most of the time they don't.
Okay.
I wait until they volunteer it. I don't want to be that girl that's like, send me your pictures. And they'll be like, I'm going to run away now.
Are they all about the dick pics on this
one? A lot of them, yeah. Okay. There's a lot of dick pics, but not always. Some people just don't have anybody to text. And that's what we're there for, you know? So it's an interesting variety of things that you get on Arouser. But mostly I get the guys who want to suck dick. And that's fine. Like, I mean, I'll be okay with it if you, you know, but if you want me to be mean to you and make fun of you for it, I can do that too. Whatever, you know.
Whatever.
I don't care, but I can pretend to if that's what you're into.
And like, I'm also curious about how the texting experience feels for you. Like, does it make it feel more or less real? Because I just feel like, for me personally, I would feel like if I was texting, like somehow that would actually have like a greater degree of intimacy.
If I was texting on my phone, yes.
Oh. Okay.
But I'm on my computer.
Okay.
So no. And I'm usually, it's usually people that want me to lay out fantasies, which is great because I'm a writer. I love to write. And I've gotten really good at writing erotica. So now I'm offering that like custom erotica for a tip on MFC. It plays out like a little interactive fantasy. And I'm fine with that. That's fun for me.
Do you get feedback? Like, if they're like, this absolutely tapped into the very, like, core of me? Or like, oh, I thought it would have more beatings.
I mean, they'll tell me. You know, most of the time they're not shy about telling me if they want something different. It really is like when I was probably way too young to be on the internet. But, you know, when the internet was first in your house and you could get into AOL chat and that fun. If somebody had told me back then that that would be my job, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. You kidding me right now? This is great.
I don't know if I can explain, like, you have to be such a very specific age to have had that experience. Because like, I remember my first experiences with the internet were all entirely just like dirty chat rooms with complete fucking strangers.
Absolutely. And I was all about it. I was like, I'll talk to you about this.
Pretending to be an adult, you know, and like super, super curious if anybody was who they said they were. Like, who was it? I could have been talking to Mitt Romney.
Who knows? ASL. Nobody knows. You lie and you just, that is what Arouser feels like to me.
Okay.
So when I'm doing that, I'm like, yeah, I got this. This is great. Like, I know. This is so familiar to me.
Yeah, I remember thinking that, like, whatever age I was pretending to be, which was definitely, like, I don't know, late 20s
21.
Or something.
It's usually 21.
I was like,
21.
Oh, she's so old. Like, and then I'm like, are they going to believe it? I'm a pretty good writer for a teenager.
Like, they believe it because they want
to. They totally believed it. Well, I mean, and if they knew the reality that I was, like, a teenage girl, like, I think that would have been better. But
totally.
Maybe. Or they might have been like, what?
Yeah, you never know. But that's what the internet's for. You know, it's the weird anonymity of the internet that is a blessing and a curse.
And I've talked to a few people
in the sex industry.
Yeah, we're like guys who pretended to be girls for the sort of conversation that that would elicit. And the different experience that people have based on how they're presenting, even though nobody's proving any of this stuff.
No.
Like, you have no idea. But we still are going to treat people based on this, like, bizarre expectation, even though we have no picture.
Right.
And, like, what?
Yeah. What is this world? There was a really interesting experience that I had on Arouser with a guy who I guess was exploring bisexuality, or maybe he was ready to come out but not because he didn't know how anybody would react and he wanted to dress like a girl, but he only did it in his home. And he wanted to show me pictures of his outfits that he put together to see what I thought of them. And I legit sat there for an hour and helped this guy. I was like, Google this, Google that, like put together this outfit and showed him how to dress for his body type. Yeah, it was amazing. Awesome. I thought that was the best day ever.
Because like that is a legit helpful information piece. Like, and there's not a lot of resources for people. Like, that you don't have to like put yourself out there for. Yeah.
That day forward, I started advertising when I was advertising on Twitter. I was like, come chat with me about anything on Arouser. Like, do you want to know how to talk to your girlfriend who's like not talking to you? Maybe I can help. Like, it's fine. You can text me about literally anything on there. I'm probably sitting on my couch watching something awful on Netflix. And well, I was studying for the most part. It was like somebody came to my house and looked at my they looked at my computer and Netflix was up and it was like Third Rock from the Sun, like the last episode. And they were like, did you just binge watch this whole thing? And I was like, yes. They're like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm learning Sanskrit and texting strangers on the internet and watching Third Rock from the Sun. No, this is not okay.
I need a lot of help.
I need some time right now.
Do you ever have experiences where like the client focused, you know, answer, like performative thing lines up with your interests?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
What does that feel like?
It's interesting because it also gives me a lot of feedback about my other interests, you know, like whether it's sexual or not. Like some people are super into the performer aspect and like I start talking about it and then I start sort of learning by explaining that kind of thing. They're like, so what is it like to be in the like circus life? And I start talking about it and then I'm like, that is, yeah, I'm learning a lot about what it's like to be in circus life. And then some, as far as the sexual interests go, it really teaches me how to express that through the kinds of videos and photography and stuff that I want to make. Because it gives me, like, I know why I'm into it, and now somebody's telling me why they're into a certain thing. And I can use all of that to make a complete product that maybe will be appealing to people with my weird sense of erotica. Yeah, this phone thing is going to be very, like, we always use the term nightmare porn, me and my friend Izzy. And it's surrealist art erotica. That's the way to describe it.
So is it fair to say that, like, as you're exploring this as an art form and stuff, are you actually, like, getting off on any of this?
Oh, yeah. Some of it, yeah. Sometimes it's things that I'm not, like, super into, and then I start talking about it. I'm like, okay. It really is helpful for me to learn about things that maybe I wasn't into and then start to get into them because I'm understanding why people like them.
What are some examples?
Before I started shooting a lot of foot fetish content, like I didn't really have a foot fetish or anything like that, but now I get it. You know, I don't seek it out or anything, but I totally get it. I'm way more into it now than I was previously.
What do you understand that you didn't understand before?
Well, before I was just like, I don't know, like, I guess people are into feet. I don't know why, but whatever, I'm into it. And now I'm learning. I'm like, okay, well, it's like the arches and like the way the skin moves and sort of the way that, like, I don't know, just the shapes and the movements, and that's what's causing it. And it just makes it make more sense to me.
So it's kind of like other curves on a body that are fetishized?
Yeah, exactly.
Same basic idea? Okay.
And then I started noticing that when people had specific fetishes, like armpit fetishes, and you're shooting this armpit fetish stuff for them, and you're like, oh, again, it's like the curves and like the shapes, and collarbone fetish is a weird one. And again, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, okay, I get that. You just learn.
Yeah.
It's all a learning experience.
It makes a lot of sense. Do you ever have clients where you're connecting like in such a synchronous way that you're like legitimately – it's real for you too? Like, you would have this conversation otherwise?
Oh, yeah. I won't say that it's not for sexual things, because when I'm working, it's work mode, you know? So it's like, this is what I do for work, and this is what I do for play. So I've definitely separated it that way. And I mean, it's not that I don't have fun when I'm getting off for work, but it's different. There's a little bit more, you know, you worry about the camera angles and like what the lighting looks like because your foot's in the way of the camera. Oops, you know, like it's not something you want to do. These people are paying for it. But definitely other conversations about movies and just art and literature and stuff that we like. I've definitely had conversations via Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, you know, things like that that have gone off cam. But most of the sexual stuff, I have to separate it because that's way too much identity crisis. It's way too confusing.
Would you ever date anybody that you met through any of these forums?
Probably I would say no. And it would have to be a really unique case. And it's not that, you know, I'm prejudiced against people that use these sites, obviously. And there's definitely been really attractive dudes when I've turned their cams on. And that's always a great moment. I mean, they're like, can you turn on my cam? And you're like, okay. And then you're like, whoa, okay. I'm really happy I did that. Hey. But I think it's not a great place to start a relationship. Somewhere where you are, again, it goes into that identity separation. Like, I am here to be a character, and you're falling for that character, and then we're taking it off the site. And maybe I don't want to be that character anymore. You know, maybe I'm different. Yeah. But they have learned about this part and not everything else. So it's dangerous. I mean, I've known that it happens, and I know that it probably can work out because it is just the internet. But I don't. There's a lot of guys that try to treat it like a dating site. And I'm just like, this is not a dating site. Like, you, maybe you're coming here to jerk off to me and now you want to take me to dinner. No, I'm sorry. Like, that's not going to happen.
I mean, it's, you're walking like this really,
it's really
new line. I mean, because this is not a thing that people have had as an option for long enough for us to be like, well, obviously this is how this goes because it's constantly changing. And so, like, young people seeking intimacy and experiences and like we're just gonna like try random stuff, see what happens. Like, and you find somebody cute and you're like, so I just jerked off you. But it wasn't just jerking off to you. Like, it was more than that. I would like to actually go like to a movie with you and then like talk about it afterwards.
And I'm like, I get that. But no. I mean, there are girls that do MFC because they don't have anybody to hang out with. You know, there are girls that are on 24/7 and maybe it's just like they've burnt out on real people, you know, which I totally get. There are times where I don't want to see any people. Like, I just want to be a shut-in and nobody talk to me for a week. Just let me have a week, like, in my headspace. So some of these girls, like, that's their social life. That's their friends and that's their job. And, you know, some girls do date raffles. And I could never do. I'm so awkward around meeting new people. Mm. You know, I'm not great in person. I'm great behind a screen. And I'm great if I know you, you know, but like meeting me is probably a really weird experience unless I'm doing a show and I'm in like, I have to say hi to all these people mode. And if I just go out just to go out, I'm very like, I don't know.
No, yeah, I definitely can. So going forward, you have ended up going into all these things you didn't necessarily expect to.
Right.
Like, you're doing things that seem like are a lot of fun, and you're putting a lot of energy and, like, creative momentum behind. What do you want to see happen?
Really, at this point, I want to do something that I'm having fun doing again because the cam burnout is very real. So when you have to do it and you have to do it to make money and you owe money for taxes, so you have to do it extra because you have to raise extra money, you get really burnt out on having to be this character all the time. I'm looking forward to, I'm going to come back from tour and I'm going to get on the sub list for Wake Up Yoga and do teacher training. And then hopefully also, you know, moving in with somebody and having that own space, I'm hoping to just get to a place where it's just easy to do. You know, like, not easy, but it's fun to do again. And, you know, I never did camming for money, really. Like, I did it because it's my job and it gives me a lot of free time. But it would be great to be, like, secure and the amount of money that's coming in, secure that people are coming in and like liking the show. And then just having the time to explore new stuff, like all the new performance stuff and the yoga teaching stuff, and just have time for myself too, which seems impossible. I mean, you know, it's just constant work when you work for yourself.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So if people want to come to one of these shows, they want to find out about the work you're doing and that stuff, where can we direct them?
The Clown Pound Meltdown tour, you can look up Thunder Snow Cone. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Thunder Snow Cone, which is the name sort of for the troupe that I'm touring with. If that's it's that's ragtag group of beautiful clowns. Thunder Snow Cone has all of the tour dates and venues listed now. And then if you want to follow me to find out individually, Twitter is really great right now. It's XO_rabbit, because I'm changing all my social media to that. So that's my Instagram too. It's XO_rabbit. And I think, I feel like I'm on Instagram the most. I think it's the easiest. It's a picture.
And then should we still send people to MFC?
Oh yeah. My MFC is now, profiles.myfreecams.com/rabbit with 3 underscores.
What?
Yeah. When I did the search, initial search for rabbit, it said that the profile name was available. And then when I went to get it, it wasn't. And I had already changed everything. And I was like, no, it's happening. So I just added as many underscores as it took. It looks okay. You know, when I look at it, I'm like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's rabbit with 3 underscores.
Not one. Not yeah. 2.
3.
Not 4.
No. 3 is the magic number.
3 underscores. Awesome. Cool. So best of luck in like all of the crazy shit.
Oh, figuring it all out. Thank you. Yeah.
And thanks for coming back. It was fun to catch
so
up with
much
you.
Fun.
Like you've had like this really interesting trajectory and like you've got this sort of like chilled out yoga vibe about you now too.
Shrug life
for real. Yeah. So thank you to Asha for coming back. And thank you all very much for listening, and have a great day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Sex with Timory, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimory.com, Sex with Timory on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timory_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.